Ladies and gentlemen, G5, G5 Radio. This afternoon, we're having our first excerpt of our series that we're calling The Real. And I'm going to bring out a quote here, and I'm going to ask this gentleman this first question. And it's his quote. Do not be afraid. Be not afraid of greatness. Some are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrusted upon them. Which one are you? And this question I bring to my hermano, Mr. Armando Batista. Good afternoon, sir.
Hello, hello, Peter, and the other listeners out there.
So let's get right into it here. You have really come a long way since you first started, basically, in Temple. It was around 2002. Is that right?
That is correct. Mm-hmm. That's correct, my friend. And if I may, the quote that you just repeated, the be not afraid of greatness, it's actually William Shakespeare's quote.
Ah, very nice, very nice.
Yeah, so I definitely took that from the bar. The last part is my part that says, which one are you? But the rest, that's his word.
Well, it doesn't matter. The main thing is, that's basically our question that we have for you here on The Real is, which one are you? You know, like I said, you've come a long way. I mean, you started basically, I remember you back starting with City Boy, back, I believe it was 2011.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, doing your own show, your one-man show. And now you have gotten to the point where we will have the honor of seeing you on NBC on the 12th of February in the new, if I'm correct, it's an 8-part miniseries called The Slap.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. So give us just a little background about you, basically how it all started, what brought you to where you're at today.
Cool, man. Well, it was 1979. Let me stop. I know my parents, you know, were in love, right, all that good stuff.
Right.
Anyways, fast forward to adulthood, and, you know, I've had a passion for acting and theater and storytelling and the arts for since I was a kid. You know, it's gone from music, playing, like actually learning to play drums and guitar and bass when I was in church,
okay,
to, you know, to picking up the trumpet when I was in junior high, to taking on choir in high school, and then starting to go into theater,
mm-hmm,
and acting. And then I went into the military, did 4 years in the Navy, and as I was doing that career, you know, decided that this is not for me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, what else am I going to do with my life? And so sort of this me revisiting the arts and actually thinking about becoming an actor really started taking root at that time. And then I went off to community college. I did a year there after I left the service,
right,
and transferred to Temple.
Okay.
So when I got to Temple, I was at a place where I had done some acting in a couple community theater shows back in Harrisburg.
Mm-hmm.
I went to community college, and yeah, so I was really getting my footing in being an actor and what that meant. So I was really green at that time. But I entered Temple and wasn't quite into still deciding that acting was it and studying it. I was in communications. I was taking different courses.
Right.
But it really hit home for me when I went and saw these performances that the students were doing, and it was very personal. It was coming out of a class where the students at the end of it had to do these personal statements, and they were 1-minute statements,
okay,
and it was like the most honest, authentic acting I had ever seen.
Okay.
Because it's just an individual up there sharing their story, sharing their spirit, sharing their humanity with others. And that really struck a chord for me. And after that, I pretty much decided I'm going to go all the way in and focus on acting and theater. That's what I did. I got my degree in theater from Temple University.
Mm-hmm.
And while there, just again, continue to build my craft and become a better actor, better storyteller. Started working more creatively. I've always been a poet, so I've always done that, but started bringing my poetry to the stage and continue to just build my writing up. You know, and then I came back to New York after I graduated, did the whole acting hustle here, and went to grad school, and left that program because it was financially not good. Mm-hmm. I couldn't afford it. Funding, actually. And so I did a couple other adventures here and there. And when you mentioned City Boy earlier, City Boy is a one-man show that I wrote and performed during the Philly Fringe back in 2011.
Right.
And it looks at my life, sort of a semi-autobiographical account of my childhood in Washington Heights. Mm-hmm. And I sort of take it from the perspective of of two characters, one guy that I call City Boy, and a kid who I call Mondo, who is kind of a nickname that I picked up as a kid, but yeah, he's a 13-year-old, he's goofy, he's awkward, he's sort of figuring his life out, and on top of that, you know, he has to live in big bad NYC in the 80s and the 90s and figuring out and also using his imagination to escape his hard reality. And so it's like, and then everything that leads up to him coming back as an adult to the city. You know, so for me, like that was a big venture to go into just creatively and personally. Again, touching back to that first experience I had with acting, that it's about the personal, the intimate.
A este pobre corazón que anda por ahí buscando, a este torpe corazón que se anda enamorando, ¿qué le importa si después me paso el tiempo llorando, me paso el tiempo llorando?
A este pobre corazón que anda buscando cariño, a este pobre corazón inocente como un niño, romántico soñador, caballero aventurero, que en la senda del amor me hace sufrir, me hace llorar. No vale la pena, no vale la pena enamorarse. No vale la pena, no vale la pena enamorarse. El amor te da la vida, también te la quita. Cada vez que te enamoras y luego terminas. No vale la pena, no vale la pena enamorarse. No vale la pena, no vale la pena enamorarse.
Pero ¿qué le voy a hacer si solo el sentimiento? Este torpe corazón que nunca me hace caso. A este pobre corazón que anda buscando cariño, a este torpe corazón inocente como un niño,
romántico soñador, caballero aventurero, que en la senda del amor me hace sufrir, me hace llorar.
No vale la pena, no vale.
Now, as far as what did your family think? Like, you know, usually sometimes you see that kind of old cliche is like, mom, dad, I'm going into acting. And then they kind of have this like little stare and like silent moment. Did you have anything like that? Or they were just like really 100% like all in support of you? Or did they kind of like had like maybe there might be some doubts, or is this really something that you really can do? Or, you know, what was the reaction?
Well, I'm still figuring out what that is today because I've never quite gotten a yes out of them or a no out of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's always kind of like, so what are you doing to make money?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what ends up happening
right.
with my parents. They're like, oh, are you taking care of your bills? You know, because I for them, like, you know, they're actually Pentecostal pastors.
Okay.
They pastor a church in the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely the one out of all my siblings who has really taken on an unconventional route. And it's never really landed for them. And even still, I don't know, let's see, now with this sort of this success that I'm building, it may change. They might, you know, they definitely know about the show. And now whether they see it or not, because again, their own religious beliefs,
mm-hmm.
you know, let's see if it actually authenticates, you know, or validates my, you know, my work as an actor. But yeah, I never have gotten like the yes, go for it, or no, what is wrong with you? You know, we'll disown you. Like, I never really gotten that from them. So it's always been an interesting thing for me. I've invited them to other shows that I've done and plays, and
mm-hmm.
you know, it's always kind of like, oh yeah, but then something comes up for them. So they've never actually seen me act.
Okay. Well, now I'll go back and rewind to back to City Boy, because that's when I first actually saw, you know, you do your performance, and I definitely must say it was just amazing.
Thanks, man.
The creativity, the time that it takes to you know, get the creative thoughts and juices flowing, and to put it all on paper, and then just bring all the emotions out. And I actually got a clip here that I always liked, your solo piece when you're starting it off, and you were just, you know, by yourself with a little microphone, and then this came out.
Traffic, human, auto, machine, mental, meta, real, stoop sidewalks, curbs, fire escapes, rooftops, ledges, benches, fashion, new, old, newer, older, oldest, oldie, vintage, thrift.
And that is an excerpt from the City Boy video that Armando did, basically showing off his creative talents, both visually and literally. Would you say that this video was more like the catalyst of getting City Boy off its feet?
No.
As far as getting it off the ground, getting the popularity out there of the show itself, and for people to see how personal this show was.
Well, it's definitely the what you captured there in the clip, or what you played in the clip is part of a piece which is in the larger one man show City Boy,
mm-hmm.
And where City Boy, the character, has come returned to the city and is basically painting a picture of what it is to be in New York, to be dealing with like the concrete cosmos, as I call it, of just in and out, the sounds and everything that happens when you interact in the system.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very much a abstract, poetic view of New York City in that way, and so it is affected. The character City Boy is affected also by the telling of that, because he is part of that system. Mm-hmm. You know, he's one of those pieces that makes the larger whole of the city.
Okay.
So yeah, I would say that that is an integral part of it. And it gives, again, it gives you that context of how he sees New York, as he see, how he sees it as these, like, just sounds and movement, and it's a sensational ride.
I never knew a la like this. Gotta be something for me to write this. Queen, I ain't seen you in a minute. Wrote this letter and finally decided to send it. Signed, sealed, delivered for us to grow together. Love has no limit, that's been a slow forever. I know your heart is weathered by what does did to you. I ain't gon' talk them cause I probably did it too. Because of you feelings I handle with care. Some niggas recognize the light but they can't handle the glare. You know I ain't the type to walk around with matching shirts. A relationship is effort, I will match your work. I wanna be the one to make you happiest and hurt you the most. They say the end is near, it's important that we close to the most high. Regardless of what happened, on him let's rely.
There are times when you need someone.
Yeah. Second, it's important we communicate and tune the fate of this union to the right pitch. I never call you my bitch or even my boo. It's so much in the name and so much more in you. Few understand the union of woman and man. It's sex and a tingle is where they assuming it land. But that's fly by night for you in the sky right. During these cold shy nights, moon, you my light. If heaven had a height, you would be that tall. Ghetto to coffee shop, you, I see that all. Let's stick to understanding and we won't fall. For better or worse times, I hope to me you call. So I pray every day more than anything. Friends will stay as we begin to lay this foundation for a family. Love ain't simple, why can't it be anything worth having? You work at annually. Granted, we've known each other for some time. It don't take a whole day to recognize sunshine. Check it. It's kind of fresh, you listen to more than hip-hop. And I catch you in the mix from beauty to thrift shop. Plus you shit-pop when it's time to. Thinking you fresh, suggesting beats I should rhyme to. At times when I'm lost, I try to find you. You know to give me space when it's time to. My heart's dictionary defines you. It's love and happiness. Truthfully, it's hard trying to practice abstinence. The time we committed love, it was real good. Had to be for me to arrive, and it still feel good. I know the sex ain't gon' keep you, but as my equal, it's how I must treat you. As my reflection, the light, I'ma lead you. And whatever's right, I'ma feed you. Yo, I tell you the rest when I see you. Peace.
Now, let's fast forward from City Boy and talk to us about Ghost of Manhattan.
All right, so Ghost of Manhattan is that is a theater installation that happened back in August of 2012, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually done by my partner, Maya Garcia, okay. Who's a director and choreographer, and it was her theater arts organization, Organic Magnetics. So So we met around that time that she was forming this piece, and it's like, as I was saying, we took audiences through historical park in New York City called Fort Tryon Park. It's in the Washington Heights Inwood area in Upper Manhattan, and we walked them through 500 years of New York history. So starting from 1512, which was the it's actually a little pre-New York or the origins of New York, but touching on the Spanish colony and sort of these called the Law of Burgos, and how the Spaniards were treating the Indians or set up this law to treat them in a proper way, quote unquote. And then going every century, 1612, 1712, 1812, 1912, up to current 2012 when we had done the piece. And looking through the lens of cultural collisions, looking at social movements, looking at technology, and within the cultural collisions is dealing with race in there, and the complexities and struggles of that. And so every century dealt with that. So we're bringing in 1612 it's this first meeting of these different worlds on the island of Manhattan, which is current Manhattan. And so we're dealing with the Native Americans, we're dealing with the Spanish, they're coming, the Dutch. And this character called Juan Rodriguez, a free mixed race man from Hispaniola who came with the Dutch to the island, and we know at least stayed 1 year, from 1612 to about 1613. And so then leading up to that, 1712, 1812, 1912, you have the advent of technology, moving pictures, kind of a interesting prediction of what TV was going to be. We're talking about even before there was TV. And then leading all the way to 2012, which becomes a celebration of our humanity and all of us who are the descendants of this history. So that it was amazing. Again, it was an amazing experience. We had about over 500 attendants that came to it throughout a week of shows. And again, if you ever have an opportunity to interview Maya, she can really tell, because it was her baby. It was her vision. They've been working on it for over 7 years. And it was an amazing, amazing experience.
Excellent, excellent. So after Ghost of Manhattan, where did your craft take you to then?
Well, as I mentioned, Juan Rodriguez was a character that I introduced to Maya and who I played among other characters. And we decided to, because Ghost of Manhattan was also a very large undertaking, a lot of Maya invested a lot of her own money into it. So we thought, okay, well, we can't do that. Too large for us without a producer. Is there something else that we can take on in a smaller contained form? And so we decided to look into the character of Juan Rodriguez and see if we can flesh out his story. And went about doing research. We went and traveled to Dominican Republic and Cuba.
Okay.
This was back in 2013. And then that year we had were awarded a 6-month residency at El Museo del Barrio, the premier Latino institution in New York City, in East Harlem. And we went about developing this piece. And it ended up becoming I'm New York Juan Rodriguez, which is co-written by myself and Maya, and in which I also perform the role of Juan Rodriguez. It's a historical fiction in which we reimagine the story of Juan Rodriguez and what happened with the origins of New York City and pretty much the origins of multicultural America. So he's someone who was born about 100 years after Columbus. And so then in 1613, there is historical record from the Dutch that he came with the Dutch merchant ships to the island of Manhattan, which is also called New Virginia by the Dutch at the time. And we know that he stayed on the island demanding goods for the services he did. And in 1614, his former employer returned and saw him trading with a competitive Dutch ship, and they fought. Juan Rodriguez fought with a couple of his former mates.
Okay.
And in that skirmish, he was injured and then was rescued by the competing Dutch ship and possibly other Native Americans, the Lenape. And that's all we know about him. So there's very little that we know. And so what we have done is expanded upon his story, taking this historical documentation and from the research that we did, the in-depth research. And created, it's a magical realism that we've done, because we have a narrator, and the narrator is a mysterious character who's telling the story in present-day New York, and then traces back and takes us on this journey. So that's we did a production of that in Museo, which was very successful, and we had youth audience and who really took to it. Then from that, we did a partnership with the New York Public Library, where we did live reading in a couple of their branches last year, which we hope to continue doing. And the current iteration of I Am New York is we're turning into a graphic novel. So we feel like the best way to get the story out is to get into people's hands, young people of all ages and colors, because we believe he's an American hero, and it's important for people to know about this part of their history.
Pues quiero que le digas a tu amigas que el rey del pum pum acaba de llegar y nadie lo puede parar. So llora, porque llegó el general. Tu pum pum, mami, mami, no me van mata tu pum pum, mami, mami, no me van mata tu pum pum, mami, mami, no me van mata tu pum pum, mami, mami, no me van matar, pues tu pum pum no me puede matar. Ay, mamacita, porque soy un general, digo que jala pa'lante, digo jala pa' atrás. Tu pum pum, digo, se va a estirar, digo, todos los hombres lo van a corretear. Boom, como una bruja lo tendrás que castigar. Tu pum pum, mami, mami, no me van matar. Mami, mami, no me van matar. Tu pum pum, mami, mami, no me van matar. Tu pum pum, mami, mami, no me van matar, pues conozco chicas que les gustan firmar. Viene para el baile, se ya no quiere bailar. Con mis amigos si no lleva un collar, él no maneja ningún onda a cara. Y la cerveza no le pueden comprar. Digo, todo lo que quiere es un pasito pa' gozar, porque del baile no la pueden sacar. Y a su casa no la pueden llevar. So en una esquina se empiezan a meñar. Y de repente tú lo oyes gritar. Mami, mami, no me van mata tu pum pum. Mami, mami, no me van mata tu pum pum. Mami, mami, no me van mata tu pum pum. Mami, mami, no me van mata. Digo que alza la mano si te gusta el chocolate. Digo, alza la mano si te gusta el chocolate. Digo, bate que bate el chocolate. Digo, bate que bate. Tú no vayas a parar. Si no cogeré tu azúcar, la pondré en sal. Izquierda y derecha, yo te voy a noquear. Boom, tu pum pum no me podrás ganar, porque aquí están peleando contra un general. Mami, mami, no me van mata tu pum pum. Mami, mami, no me van mata tu pum pum. Mami, mami, no me van mata. Yo soy bravo, digo que malo y no me ganan. Bravo y malo te digo y no me, por eso escuchan esa cosa que le van a pronosticar. Digo, el pum pum, digo que tiene que pegar. En Puerto Rico, digo, tiene que llegar. Santo Domingo, digo, tiene que llegar. En Jamaica, digo, tiene que azotar. Costa Rica y en Panamá, toda mi gente así lo van a gozar. Tu pum pum, mami, mami, no me van mata. Tu pum pum, mami, mami, no me van mata. Tu pum pum, mami, mami, no me van matar, pues tu pum pum no me puede matar. Ay, mamacita, porque soy un general, digo que jala pa'lante, digo jala pa' atrás. Tu pum pum, digo, se van a estirar. Digo, todos los hombres lo van a corretear. Boom, como una bruja no tendrá que castigar. Tu pum pum, mami, mami, no me van mata. Tu pum pum, mami, mami, no me van mata. Tu pum pum, mami, mami, no me van mata. Digo que conozco chicas que le gustan firmar. Viene para el baile, ella no quiere bailar. Con mis amigos si no llevan collar. Él no maneja ningún onda a cara. Y la cerveza no le pueden comprar. Digo, todo lo que quiere es un pasito pa' gozar. Porque del baile no la pueden sacar. Y a su casa no la pueden llevar. So en una esquina se ponen a meñar. Y de repente yo lo oigo gritar. Mami, mami, no me van mata tu pum pum.
mami, mami, no me van mata tu pum pum, mami, mami, no me van mata, yo soy Bram, bon, digo que malo y no me ganan, Bram boy mal, no te digo y no me.
And do you feel as if right now a lot of students are really lacking the knowledge of this history, and you're using your form of theater to bring that out to them?
Most definitely. It's something that is part of history. It is, it happened. This man is a real person. He is also one person who we believe there are others. There are accounts of others that were similar to him, free, enterprising, mixed race, free man of color, pre-slavery, American slavery, who were just independent and who were making a way for themselves. And I believe it's vital to young people to know this story. For everyone to know, New Yorkers and Americans, because it's American history. It's part of what makes us who we are.
Right.
And a lot of times I hear, you know, we have a young history, ours isn't as old as others, and so I think a lot of times that leads to I call it cultural amnesia, where people want to tend to forget anything that's happened in America and sort of deal with the now, and that's it. You know, and or be selective with what they want to remember. And it's important to have as colorful and as in-depth knowledge of your history that you can really reflect on that and move forward knowing that. You know, as you forge ahead into uncharted territory, and as we are doing now today, we need that. It shapes us. It makes it real.
Okay.
So I think, especially for kids of color, it's important for them to know that there was such a man like Juan Rodriguez, and men like him, people like him, that were part of the beginnings of American history, of their history. You know, so it's not just like, oh, I see George Washington, this white man who's important, or Susan B. Anthony, or, you know, and then there's Harriet Tubman, and there's these other stories, but it's for a Latino youth, even for me, you know, learning about this man who came from what we know today now as Dominican Republic in Haiti, mm-hmm. was astounding, you know, and was moving. So I needed to know more. I needed, you know, to find out more, and if not, I needed to find a way to share that with others.
Okay, all right. Now, tell me how you had gotten this break here with the show, The Slap. Who spotted you, or how did it all happen?
Well, let's see. The Slap, really interesting because, again, using I Am New York, and this is how things work. You know, it's like, it's all about, if you're doing work, there's the saying, work begets work. I think there's also, when you put something artistic out there, people are attracted to that.
Right.
And so you make connections. Just when you do something, when you're active with your life and I think when you're creative with it, you know, that attracts people. It's positive. And so it's just going to create ripple effects, and it's going to create circles of like concentric circles where people are finding ways to connect with you or connecting via someone else. And so in saying that, when we did a live reading as we were developing the piece, we did it at this awesome arts organization in Northern Manhattan called NOMA, Northern Manhattan Arts Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
We did a reading there, and there was a small crowd who we interacted with. After the reading, this woman named Davian Littlefield happened to be there, and she caught interest with the piece, and she basically wanted to meet up and just give me some more information of people that could help us keep the story going, keep the piece going, possibly find funders and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But we met together, and I discovered that she's a manager.
Oh, nice.
She manages actors, And yeah, so she told me a bit about herself, and you know, she's been in the business for over 30 years and has worked with some of the best in the business, and went and took some time off. She has an amazing story as well. But she went and took some time off, went and traveled on a merchant marine ship for like 2 years.
Oh, wow.
And then came back to the city and went about entering the business again and starting with a small pool of clientele. And as we were talking, it sort of naturally came to this place of her giving me some advice as I was returning back to New York. I had recently left grad school and had been back in New York only about a year, I think, at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so she gave me some advice on how to get my career started here in New York. From that, you know, I just kind of left it as it was. I went to go do a play in Philly, and then in those months leading up to my return back to New York, so we stayed in touch, and we said, you know, let's try this. Let's give this a test run. Let's partner up. You know, she becomes my manager. I'm one of her clients. I'm
okay.
An actor. And let's go about seeing if this works for us, if this partnership works, this relationship works.
Nice.
And
nice.
So we took it that way. We took it in a casual way, but knowing like, okay, now we're taking it to this next level. And as we were doing that, she's sending me on some auditions. And there's some taped auditions I'm doing. And we're just going through that. And I get back to the city, so now I'm able to really go into effect and really devote more time to my acting and my auditioning. And so that's what we started to do, and she was sending me on more. And about, I would say, 3 to 4 months after we had been working together, she sent me in for this audition for the slap, and then about a week after that, she calls me to say, you have an offer.
Excellent. That's awesome, man.
Baby, look at me. Mama love you. And I know you ain't no little boy no more, but you'll always be my baby. It seems like only yesterday I was holding you in my arms. Now look at you now, big man. But I worry about you. I worry about you all the time. Hanging out on the corner all times of night with the cruel people. Baby, that ain't nothing but trouble. I always taught you that you could have whatever you dream. Well, I want you to hold on to that dream, baby. Hold on to it real tight. Cause the sky's the limit.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How's everybody doing tonight?
Alright.
I'd like to welcome to the stage the lyrically acclaimed.
Woo!
I like this young man. Because when he came out with the phrase, he went from ashy to classy.
Alright.
I like that.
Alright.
So everybody in the house, give a warm round of applause for the Notorious B.I.G. The Notorious B.I.G., ladies and gentlemen. Give it up for him, y'all. A nigga never been as broke as me. I like that. When I was young, I had 2 pair of leaves. Besides that, the pinstripes and the gray.
Uh-huh.
The one I wore on Mondays and Wednesdays. While niggas flirt, I'm throwing tigers on my shirt and alligators. You wanna see the inside? I see you later. Here come the drama. Oh, that's that nigga with the fake.
Wow!
Why you punch me in my face? Stay in your place. Play your position. Here come my intuition. Go in this nigga pocket. Rob him while his friends watching. And hoes clocking. Here comes respect. This crew's your crew, or they might be next. Look at their man, big man, they never try. So we roll with them, stole with them. I mean loyalty, niggas bought me milks at lunch. The milks with chocolate, the cookies, butter crunch. 88, Oshkosh, and blue and white dust. Ask the slice.
The sky is the limit, you know that you keep on. Just keep on pressing on. Sky is the limit, you know that you can keep on.
I got stuff, but most of them soft. Even when I was wrong, I got my point across. They depicted me the boss. Of course, my orange box cut to make the world go round. Plus, I'm fucking bitches ain't my homegirls now. Start stacking, dabbled in crack, gun packing. Nicknamed Medina, made the scene of Stoke Medina. From gym class to in glass, passed off for global. The only nigga with a mobile. Can't you see like total? Getting larger and wasting taste. Ain't no telling where this felon is heading. Just in case, keep a shell at the tip of your melon. Clear the space. Your brain was a terrible thing to waste. 88 on gate, snatch initial nameplate. Smoking splits with niggas. Real life, begin to kill us. Praying God forgive us for being sinners. Help us out. The enterprise and I ain't have to be in school by 10. I then began to encounter with my counterpart to how to burn the block apart. Break it down into sections. Drugs by these selections. Some use pipes, others use injections. Syringe sold separately. Frank the deputy. Quick to grab my Smith and Wesson like my dick was missing. To protect my position, my corner, my layer. While we out here, say the hustler's prayer. If the game shakes me or breaks me, I hope it makes me a better man. Take a better stand, put money in my mom's hand. Get my daughter this college plan, so she don't need no man. Stay far from timid, only make moves when your heart's in it. And live the phrase, sky's the limit, motherfucker. See you chumps on top.
I mean, what is it like actually just being there? Is it like the stand in front of the directors, the producers of the show, and then read a script? Okay, you're good. You're not. Bounce.
You mean the auditioning?
Yeah. Just how the auditioning is. Is it as cutthroat as it always seems to be?
Well, you know, it's not easy. Whoever says that, you know, auditioning is easy, it's not. It's like going to interviews. It's like basically putting yourself in front of someone and in a way having to prove that you're worthy of whatever this thing is, you know, the role or the job or, you know, this position. So that's what you're doing, you know. And so for me, it's always been tense. It's always been a tense situation. Even though I'm excited to go to an audition, and, you know, when it comes down to it, it's a lot about really finding a way to understand that there's a tension with that and becoming comfortable in that, becoming comfortable with feeling uncomfortable in that situation. And it is an opportunity to act, you know, to perform. And I do love acting. I do love telling stories. So I do take it as that. I do take it as practice. But it's, you know, you get the audition, let's say, for example, with the slap, you know, I got the audition from my manager. She got me a time slot. I had my time slot, so it was 12:30. Mm-hmm. You know, I get the sides. It could be anywhere from, you know, a week or like the night before. So, you know, you get whatever time you get to study the sides. Mm-hmm. You usually don't have to memorize them, but if you can be as off book, meaning like as memorized with your lines as possible, it's better, because then it just frees you to be in the moment, to be there, to be present, to take whatever you get from the reader, or to just respond.
Okay.
And be more in your body, so you can show the best, authentic, truest you can in that moment. Mm-hmm. So get off book. You know, I have my lines. I have them as well as I can have them, depending on how much lines they are. Mm-hmm. Then I, you know, get a good night's sleep, get myself prepped to go to the audition. I'll usually wear something that I feel good in, clothes-wise. If it's something particular to a character, I'll try to match that. But I also want to feel, again, I want to feel good in what I'm wearing.
Right.
I want to feel good in my clothes. So then that's one less thing I have to worry about. Yeah, I make my way to the audition and, you know, show up early. And there's usually a waiting room where there's other actors who are waiting. Same thing to go in and read for the part.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a lot of people vying for your part?
What's that?
Did you have a lot of people vying for your part?
You know, honestly, when I went in, I was the last one to audition that day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because I think it got moved because of either another audition or I was leaving something else. And yeah, I think it might have been another audition or something I was leaving. So the time slot was moved. And I ended up auditioning, I was like the last slot that day.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I went in and usually go into a room and then there's a camera set up. There's a reader who could be either the casting director whose office it is, or it could be an associate. This time it was an associate.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have my sides, and I pretty much had them memorized. I was off book. You know, the casting associate reads the lines. I usually do a slate, so they'll say, go. I'll say my name, Armando Batista. I say my height, 6 foot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually about it. That's the most basic. And then they start, you know, if they have the first line or I have the first line, we go.
Okay.
And I do it if they're great, if they think it was a great first take, done, they'll say thank you. And if not, you know, if they have some direction, they'll give me a little bit of direction, try this or try that. That happened with my audition for The Slap, and I was like, cool. And then I took the direction, went with it. She was like, great, thanks. And say bye, and you leave.
Okay.
So it's, at the most, you might spend in there, I would say on average you spend a minute.
Mm.
You know, it could be less, it could be a little more. But yeah, it's, you know, you prep, you do all this work, you spend all this time, and you go in there, you do your audition, it's a minute, they get you on tape,
mm-hmm.
and then you're gone.
A New York minute, they really mean it when they say that.
That is true, man. That is true.
So it's just amazing because, I mean, once you get the call, they said you nailed it. You know, inside you just got all these feelings and you're just like full of emotion and everything. So did you tell the fam? Did you let them know? I was like, look, I just got a break. I got this. I'm going to be on TV.
Well, it was weird. Like, I mean, I told my girlfriend, I pretty much, well, I first had that moment of like, okay, yeah, I just got the offer. Okay, great. It just happened. Yeah, so I totally had that moment of, this is happening. This happened.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, good. Good. I got it. Great. Okay. This is real. And especially when you get the email that says, you have an offer. Awesome. And, yeah. And so when that happened, you know, I called her. I told her. She was super excited for me. And, you know, I had a brief call with my manager. And she was like, congratulations. And she sort of is like, She's happy about it, but she's been through this before. So
right.
I'm kind of the one that's like, cool, yeah. So, you know, and she's like, yeah, good work. Boom. And so, you know, and then it's off, you know, and then they send me the schedule and then I'm, but like, I didn't really tell a lot of folks. I didn't go crazy posting on Facebook because, again, I didn't know what all the work entailed and I didn't know what's the proper way to go about that. So I was really chill, low-key about that. I would say besides my girlfriend, I may have told my brother.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just kept it, pretty close. And, you know, and it wasn't until I went to work and we filmed and I was done shooting. And even still, when actually one of our frat brothers Rick happened to be seeing the playoffs, the NFL playoffs, and the commercial came on. And he's the one that let me know that, hey, man, wait, is that you? He was like, and he's the one that posted, like, the screenshot of me, you know, in the flat.
And that is, and that is so true, because I was sitting, of course, you know, just bumming out, watching the football game, and then all of a sudden I'm like, what the? I was like, yo, well, wait a minute. Hit that remote, pause it, rewind it. I was like, that's Mondo. Oh my God, that's Mondo. Hold on. Oh, this is good. This is good. I'd seen it, and when I seen it, I was like, he's made it. He's got it.
Oh,
he's
man.
Gonna roll with it. I know it.
Oh, thanks, bro.
Oh, please. You, be proud of yourself, man. That's the whole deal here. See, you're bringing yourself, your emotions out, and like you said, all the hard work pays off. Even if it's just that 1 minute that you have, you use that minute to your fullest potential.
Yeah, I'm out at Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow. But I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem. All of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's. Took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like the Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus. Driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my top. Sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. Nigga, I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely from
New York.
With OG at a Yankee game. Shit, I made the Yankee hat more famous than the Yankee king. You should know I bleed blue, but I ain't a crypto. But I got a gang of niggas walking with my click though. Welcome to the melting pot, corners where we selling rock. Africa been by the shit, home of the hip hop. Yellow cap, gypsy cap, dollar cap, holla back. For foreigners it ain't fair, they act like they forgot how to act. 8 million stories out there in the naked city. It's a pity half of y'all won't make it. Me, I got a plug special and I got it made. If Jesus paying LeBron, I'm paying Dwayne Wade. Three dice CeeLo, three card Marley. Labor Day parade, rest in peace Bob Marley. Statue of Liberty, long live the World Trade, long live the King. Yo, I'm from the Empire State. That's blinding. Girls need blinders so they could step out of bounds quick. The sidelines is lined with casualties who sip the life casually, then gradually become worse. Don't fight the Apple Eve. Caught up in the in crowd, now you're in style. And in the winter gets cold, in vogue with your skin out. City of sin, it's a pity on a whim. Good girls going bad, the city's filled with them. Mommy took a bus trip, now she got a bust out. Everybody ride her, just like a bus route. Hail Mary to the city, you're a virgin. And Jesus can't save you, life starts when the church in. Came here for school, graduated to the highlight. Ball players, rap stars, addicted to the limelight. Empty and May, got you feeling like a champion. The city never sleeps, better slip you an ambient.